Welcome to the Research in Focus podcast. In this episode, our discussion explores the impact of AI technology like ChatGPT on higher education, highlighting both its challenges and opportunities. We debate whether writing should continue to be a mandatory skill for university students. We are excited to welcome Dr. Joo-Han Hasi and Dr. Daniel Chen. Both are experienced instructors of academic writing at Simon Fraser University. Their publications and research projects are transforming the approach to teaching and learning English in higher education. Hi, Joe and Daniel. Thank you for joining us today.
Hi, Quincy.
First of all, would you mind introduce yourself to our audience?
Sure. My name is Joo-Han Hasi. I'm a senior lecturer in the Faculty of Education. I'm in charge of our Foundations of Academic Literacy course, which offers first-year reading and writing skills to new undergraduates at SFU. And I'm also involved in a research project about academic integrity across BC right now, among other things.
Thank you, Joe. Your experience certainly sets the stage for today's discussion. Daniel, what would you like our audience to know about you and your contributions to the field?
Hi, everyone. My name is Daniel Chen, and currently I'm a term lecturer in the faculty's online learning hub. So I have taught many multilingual writers. So these are the groups that I care mostly about. So I was a writing consultant at the Writing Center, which is our student learning commons at SFU. So that's why I particularly focus on those multilingual writers, their development of their writing skills, and I actively find a lot of ways to support them through a lot of innovative learning technologies like dialectical map, argument mapping, or AI chatbot, or any other tools that can potentially help multilingual writers to improve their writing skills for their first year writing classes. So I recently authored and co-authored two papers about ChatGPT. And my major argument is how ChatGPT can facilitate their self-regulated learning if they are using it ethically.
Thank you, Daniel, for that introduction. To start our conversation, I would like to ask what learning abilities might students lose if they rely heavily on ChatGPT?
That's a kind of difficult question to answer, but I think instead of asking what students will lose when they use ChatGPT, maybe we should redirect our attention, like reorient our attention to another area. Maybe let us ask, why do some teachers or why are some teachers, they are afraid of using ChatGPT in their classroom? And what kind of things that are that they are afraid of, right? So I think my most direct answer to that is, and based on my experience and attending a lot of talks hosted by other institutions, University of Calgary, and so forth, I think the most concern is that perhaps we can, as an educator, we cannot tell whether a work is written by the machine or is actually by the student themselves, right? Even there are some algorithm existing on the internet that can claim that they can detect whether a work is written by AI or by human. Maybe, Joe, you can correct me if I'm wrong. But the accuracy of those machines are like not very high. So now here is just an ethical problem here. If we allow students to use ChatGPT, then there's an ethical issues. And how do we as teachers, as educators, to help to kind of navigate the problem, kind of solve this problem with a student, and maybe we need to be transparent about how we use it and why in some areas that we allow students to use it, but in some others that we can't allow students to use it. So maybe we need to think about this. What are some particular things that, what's the boundary between what's the ethical use and what's the unethical use of it?
Yeah, I think I agree. I mean, I think that the panic, if you will, around ChatGPT is very similar to things that we saw with Wikipedia in the mid sort of the first decade of the century, and even with the rise of search engines like Google before that. And the fact is, I mean, I do think they are qualitatively different in some ways, but there was a sense that students would become lazy and rely on technology to do the work for them. In some cases, those fears were correct. I think that those things can be used sloppily and unethically and without much thought. But you know, for those who learned how to utilize those technologies within the boundaries of the given conventions of the discipline that they're writing for, within the academic integrity standards of what they're doing, indeed within the kind of learning, as you say, the learning objectives of what, you know, they're supposed to be doing at that stage of education that they're in, they've turned out not to be that scary. I have students frequently come into my class being told, or having been told, they should never use Wikipedia for anything in school. And I say, well, why not? It's fine. It's usually pretty good info. I mean, don't stop there. You know, start there maybe, and then get going into other sources. So, I mean, I have to say, as a writing teacher, I do worry, and I do think that the temptation is much bigger with ChatGPT to rely on what the machine produces instead of students kind of putting in intellectual work. I do think the temptation is bigger, but I think that, as Daniel said, like if we can talk about you know, an ethical framework, then I think we'll be on the right footing.
Thank you so much for sharing your insights on this. I do agree that there is more discussions need to focus on how we set the boundary and what should be some limitations, right? So my next question is, have you allowed your students to use ChatGPT in your classrooms or any assignments? Why or why not?
After some giving it some thought, I have decided not to allow it in most of my courses. And that's primarily because most of what I teach, whether it's at the undergraduate or graduate level, is about helping students to become familiar with, you know, the kind of tools, whether they're linguistic or rhetorical or even sort of cognitive, you know, tools that they need to succeed in their academic programs. My concern is that even opening the door a little bit might encourage people to offload some of those tasks. So I see these kind of foundational, you know, reading or literacy courses as being sort of, I don't know, I'm trying to think of an analogy about like riding a bike or something, but I think ChatGPT is beyond training wheels. ChatGPT is like getting on a motorcycle before you know how to ride a tricycle, I feel like. So I think we'd better start small, start with trying to get the students to do some heavy lifting themselves. And then maybe eventually, you know, later they could start to think about that. So I may be wrong about this, and I've thought this over a few different ways. I've certainly seen students use it, but for the most part, I don't allow it.
I agree with Joe that maybe in some foundational development that we need to get students to do themselves first instead of asking them to use the tools to help them, right? I agree with you, and I can think of another situation where. What if you don't have access to internet? What if you don't have any resources? What can you do by yourself, right? So this is the most fundamental question we need to ask ourselves when we, as an educator, we want students to develop an independent skill that can help themselves rather than when those tools are withdrawn, then they are like nothing, right? So I agree with you. And perhaps my approach to Joe is a little bit different. And I made a decision because right now I'm teaching a first year writing course, Education 100, and I made a decision to let students use ChatGPT. But there's a condition. They need to disclose their use of it. So they need to put at the end of their assignment that they have used any sort of generative AI tools, no matter whether that's a ChatGPT or Grammarly. Now they can generate passages, or they ask the Bing search to generate an essay for them. So I ask them that they need to disclose that. And my experience told me that maybe it's not that bad. So maybe, Joe, you have the experience. You can tell whether a work is written by ChatGPT or the person, right? I can tell that the student is using a machine. And perhaps the work is not that to the quality that we would appreciate, because end up students can just, they ask the ChatGPT to maybe summarize something for them. They put it in as their work, and then that's just summary. It's lacking depth. I think that our human ability, what precious about our skill is we have the ability to think deeply and to provide the insight which ChatGPT cannot provide, right? And also some reflective experiences and so forth. So in my courses, my assignments were structured purposefully that can elicit students' reflective experiences and their personal lived experiences. So whenever students, I judge, oh, this work maybe is written by ChatGPT, then I scroll down, oh yes, they disclose that. And then this work doesn't have any reflective components in it, and they didn't share their personal experience, they did not make connections, real world connection to them. So I think perhaps in my case, in my course, that's that is different case than from other courses. So that's why I decided to let students use ChatGPT. Okay, you can go ahead and use it, but you need to disclose that. And end up when I evaluate it, I think we can still differentiate the quality, and we can still differentiate whether students achieve their learning objectives or they learn what they should learn.
I think, if you don't mind me jumping in, I think that's really key. I really like the definition. It's the European Network on Academic Integrity sort of came up with this new concept that I think is really helpful that they call unauthorized content generation, which kind of encompasses large language models, contract cheating, ghostwriting, tutors who help a little bit too much, all of these categories. And they sort of say that unauthorized content generation in academia is any undisclosed or prohibited generation of academic content, whether by human or machine, whether or not money is exchanged. And I think that just that levels the playing field, and it puts the focus A on the relationship between the student and the instructor, right? Because this is about what is being authorized or what is being disclosed. And that's based on a framework of trust between the people in the classroom, which is key, right? Mm-hmm. And then furthermore, I also think it puts the lens onto, and this gets at a little bit of what you were saying, Daniel, the notion of authorship, like what is authentically being authored, what is authentically coming from that person as a subjective agent in the world, that can be perhaps simulated by the output of a large language model, but not truly, I don't know, written, I guess.
Thank you for sharing your thoughts and talk about
ChatGPT using in your class and your intention for students to use this tool or not. I know both of you are in university writing intensive courses, and do you believe ChatGPT is a useful tool for language learning, particularly for those EAL students?
Okay, so my take on that, it kind of goes back to what purpose, right? So if for in an informal context, then I will say yes, ChatGPT would be a useful tool for language learning, because now I see that there are a lot of plugins that can generate voice out of ChatGPT output, and students can interact with them and so forth. I think that can be helpful. But in university writing intensive courses, I would say that, like what we discussed, I would say, depending on the nature of the course. So like if it's a foundational course, then I think there should be an ethical framework that guides the use of it, because we are teaching students, maybe you should learn how to edit your paper, right? You cannot, if the learning objective is editing, then it's no use to have ChatGPT edit for you, because then you're basically violating the ethical conduct. You ask machine to help you edit the work that you are supposed to do, right? So it really depends on the learning objectives of a course and then the nature of the course. So in writing, and I do see that for upper level students and some upper level students or experienced writers, I do see that ChatGPT can be a useful tool for promoting the quality of their work. And also for some kind of writers there in between, it could be a good tool for them to learn to how to self-regulate themselves, right? So for example, maybe here I wrote this passage and then I asked ChatGPT, hey, could you evaluate how the quality of my work? What's your suggestion? A kind of experienced writer prompt GPT to evaluate the quality for them, then that can be a very useful source of feedback that the writers can get from the machine, right? So I think that really, really depends on the level of the expertise and what kind of foundations and what kind of skills, objectives that we want to achieve in the course.
Yeah, and I think furthermore, like if when you talk about evaluate, like evaluate in what way? And I think that you need to already have some skill to even know what could be improved.
Yeah.
Right. So to be able to prompt it and say, okay, does this conform to, you know, the expectations of this genre or of my professor's requirements or something like that? Because I think that you kind of touched on this earlier, Daniel, but like ChatGPT is very, I mean, it's a prediction machine. So it's going to give you a very bland, flat, sort of lowest common denominator prediction of, you know, this is likely to be typical of this type of text or whatever. So if you don't know what you're looking for, as I think maybe some less experienced writers might, you know, it might not help you, you know, grow and flourish as a writer and a thinker. But I think anything, I mean, you know, is Duolingo a useful like foreign language learning tool? Sure. Is Google Translate a useful foreign language learning tool? Yeah, to some extent. I've used stuff like that to help me learn other languages, and it's been pretty helpful. But it's no contest when compared with having a conversation with someone who's fluent in that language. And so I would compare ChatGPT in a similar way. It can help a little bit on things like this, but it's no substitute for human interaction.
Since ChatGPT is not preventable, are you planning to adjust your instructional design and the learning assignment? Although I know both of you mentioned you will tell your student, no, this is not allowed, or I don't suggest you to use ChatGPT for your writing assignment because it's a writing intensive course. But is there an alternative way to change your instructional design so that students can avoid or less using ChatGPT? That's my question.
Yeah, I think it's a great question. I think it's something we've had to really think about a lot in our Foundations of Academic Literacy course, which has so much writing in it. I've heard some writing teachers talk about, well, maybe this is going to signal a move back towards, you know, very traditional rhetorical training in speaking, for example, because there's less possibility of sort of outsourcing your assignment when you have to, you know, deliver a speech or whatever. I don't know if we'll go that far, although I do think it's probably going to become a little more important. I think that you know, broadening our understanding of what types of assessments, even written assessments, are going to be helpful is probably going to be a positive outcome of the rise of these types of programs. I think there are academic integrity concerns. I think we all have stories of students who have turned in a clearly generated piece of text without much thought for the requirements of the assignment or for the rhetorical context or whatever. So, you know, there's always going to be a little bit of a prevention focus when we talk about redesigning assessments. But I think the door is pretty wide open right now. Like we're trying a lot of new things in our course. You know, do we continue doing in-class writing as we have done? Do we move to other types of assignments? Do we move away from more generic assignments like summaries and more towards very focused, sort of either personal or reflective or kind of, you know, very localized assignments, right? So rather than having students write about, you know, what are problems facing first-year students, they write about a very specific issue that's happening at SFU right now, right? How is the TSSU strike affecting you know, students to use a very current example. So I see that as a possibility that we might move forward. But right now, I don't know yet. You know, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Daniel?
So in my experience, I did change some of my instructional design in some way, because when I teach 220 educational psychology, one of the assessment is to ask students to write an essay on a certain topic. They can explore any topics within the realm of educational psychology, and then they come up with an argument and write a paper on that. But that can become a problem because students can ask ChatGPT to produce it for them, right? So and then we end up getting me and other faculty member, we end up getting some papers who are written pretty well, and then they did not disclose that in the first place, and then we don't know how to address this problem. Then later in my online course, I got rid of just the essay writing assignment. Instead, I asked students to produce a map, an argument map, right? So they still need to inquire some areas in educational psychology, develop an argument, but their job is now they have to put them into a visually representative concept map so people can understand what their argument is. So this is a way I also change it. And the other way is that I know some other faculty member who kind of ask students to do an in-person examination right now because of ChatGPT. So yeah, it's changing, but really it depends on what kind of evaluation criteria that we want to assess our students. And then and then what kind of thing that we allow students to use their ChatGPT. Perhaps it's low stake, it's okay that you use ChatGPT, I don't mind. But when it comes to high stake, important assessment that can worth a chunk of grades in a course, then maybe we have to think about more localized assessments so that we can avoid this kind of crossing boundary issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I read some articles and some instructors suggest that now I will not give the assignment, ask students to write this and that, but instead I will ask a ChatGPT generate article and let students to criticize it and how you would like to write it differently and more insightful, because we all know ChatGPT, the text or content they generated has no human insightful thinking. That could be another approach to develop students' critical thinking, how to write differently. Mm-hmm. I don't know, a lot of ideas there, and we need more research on that. Of course, the discussion can open to students as well, right? So my next question is, from the positive side, can you provide any potential advantages of ChatGPT that you can think of, such as peer review feedback and grammar checking or something else for your students?
I can try. I mean, I'm probably a little more like pessimistic about ChatGPT in general. So I generally wouldn't use it for this type of thing. But again, an LLM is essentially a giant corpus of published texts, right? And that is extremely useful for newcomers to a certain writing genre to sort of try to understand the conventions of that genre. So LLMs are really good at producing typical, you know, texts that are typical of certain genres. And I think that is probably really useful. Again, with the added warning that like, it's usually going to produce something pretty flat and dull and like impersonal. But it will help new writers understand sort of like the skeleton or the structure of certain types of writing. So I think that is probably a really practical usage of it. I do think there are some major ethical concerns with it. You know, we've seen professional authors, novelists and such, suing OpenAI, the company, for essentially, you know, using their work without their permission to build these models. So that's a huge problem. And I actually think that's one reason that I've shied away from using it for that purpose, is that I believe that these companies have been doing these things unethically. But if you could find one, I guess, that was done ethically, that I think that could be a useful application.
So one way I can think of is perhaps we ask ChatGPT to generate my recipe for my breakfast. Right? So I'm just joking. But basically, I would say that it really helping writers, but of course advanced writers, to know what things that they are kind of didn't think of. So for example, I've tried that, hey, ChatGPT, I've written this passage. Here's a criteria here. So can you help to evaluate the quality of it and give me some suggestions for improvement? And then ChatGPT can be a very, very, sometimes very good feedback provider if you don't have any friends who may be busy, they not have time to proofread it for you or give you suggestions, then I would say that ChatGPT can be a good learning companion and writing companion in this sense. But of course, that assumes that the writer knows what they are looking for and knows what the criteria and what's the purposes out of it. But of course, I acknowledge that OpenAI may use those data as their training model unethically and then to generate more profit or other things.
Yes, given AI-driven technology and there is no way to stop it. So as educators, what skills and knowledge do our students need to maintain academic integrity?
I think I can start. I've always maintained that academic integrity is intimately connected to academic literacy, right? Knowing sort of ways of doing and being things within the academic sphere or whatever, right? So it's not simply a matter of morality, although that's involved. It's not simply a matter of don't cheat or don't try to trick your professor, right? But it's a matter of what are the rules, written and unwritten, that govern communication in this context. And that is a process that takes students a long time to figure out. And it's something that we need to make explicit and not simply assume, oh, they learned this in high school already, or, oh, because they had a good IELTS score or a good English score, they must know all the rules already. Students come into university having very little understanding of how paraphrasing works, of how citation styles and referencing works, of what the difference between even a more personal genre like reflection and a more so-called academic genre like a critical essay is. So, you know, it's up to us to explain these things. And as Daniel does, like to make explicit, here's where you're allowed to use ChatGPT, here's where you're not. That's the first step, is just like having honest conversations with our students about like what they know and don't know and what our expectations are.
So a big takeaway for our students is that I think I want them to learn genuine acknowledgement of their deficit and what kind of resources, what kind of help they need. And it's okay to ask professors if they are allowed to do this or that. The professors will tell you, right? We don't want students to do is to assume, okay, maybe it's okay. No, nobody will find out and I will ChatGPT and submit as part of my assignment, right? We don't want to encourage that kind of culture, but we want to create a culture that can foster genuineness and open communication and honesty, right? So that we can have a both-way communication and professors can let students know, okay, here's the reason why we don't allow you to use ChatGPT, right? Because maybe this might be, this is part of the course objectives that you are being assessed and ChatGPT can help you and there's no way I can know whether this is your ability or ChatGPT's ability, right? Something that I think we need to foster this kind of positive culture that fosters open communication.
I believe we have covered all our questions today. Thank you so much, Joe and Daniel, for sharing your insights on the impact of AI technology on university students' learning capabilities from an instructor's perspective. To wrap up today's conversation, I would like to share a quote from an article written by Joe, published in the Vancouver Sun. He said, if we aim to teach writing effectively and practice it ourselves, we must embrace this reality. Writing isn't a task that can be handed off to an algorithm. It demands our full engagement, both mentally and physically, inviting us to dive into an endeavor that's both challenging and gratifying, where we dare to communicate with genuine intent.
Thank you, Quincy.
Thanks, Quincy. Take care.